The opinions expressed on this webmasterradio.fm program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of webmasterradio.fm. Any rebroadcast or retransmission of this program without the express written consent of webmasterradio.fm is prohibited.
Feeling better? Looking better? Making life better? It's Life Tips. We'll explore the latest innovations, introduce you to the latest products, and bring you the tips from experts and environmental pioneers to help you lead a better life. Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, wiser. Welcome your hosts, Byron White and Amanda Smith.
Welcome to the show, everyone. I've been away for a while. Mandy, how are you?
I'm great. I can't believe you're finally back. I really missed you, Byron. You know, the yin has been gone from my yang, right?
Well, I feel the same way. Thanks for the fine compliment. It's been an interesting two or three weeks, I believe. I was in Mexico for one of the weeks, at San Francisco with AdTech last week. Prior to that, I was actually in Cincinnati out at the headquarters of Procter & Gamble, one of our fine clients. So quite a bit of travel. Two of the three were work-related. But I got to tell you, do you find yourself, sort of wanting to work when you travel? I don't know, maybe because you're away from work and you're worried. I find myself having some of the most productive work hours when I'm away from the physical office location.
Really? Well, you know, good for you. But, you know, it's good to unplug once in a while. I know your wife encourages it.
Well, that was my pitch to, you know, maybe not see me a lot and be out of the office a lot. But maybe you're not buying that. But but I have written at least five or six interesting documents and plans. We published the new 20 content marketing tips for Idea Launch that we used as the promotion, which is out actually now an interesting downloadable ebook that you can find on ClickZ and a couple of other property search engine strategies. So that's been fun. I've banged out a lot of content. There's a lot of good stuff. And Idea Launch, of course, has a fresh new look. It's only the third look and design in the last, 3 months. So, you know, we're about one new look and design per month. But I think we finally got it right. What do you think of that new look over there at Idea Launch?
I love it. I think it's exciting. It's dynamic. It's fantastic. Whole new website look. I love it.
Well, you know, we love that Life Tips look. Life Tips is our deep roots. It's where we've come from. Life Tips is a great property, and I think Idea Launch is really kind of looking like part of the Life Tips family, don't you think?
Yeah, I completely agree. Completely agree. Now, what trade shows do you have coming up for this summer? I know you guys have a pretty busy summer schedule planned.
We do. We're excited to be in the first Boston Business Expo, which I believe is May 19th at the Convention Center here in Boston. And then about a month later, we'll be at Internet Retailer, which is going to be very exciting, also here in Boston. And for the Internet Retailer Show, John and I are actually working on the first ever, you heard it here first, folks, the first ever content marketing shindig. Shindig. Yeah, go figure. But it's going to be really cool. It's a neat format. We're experimenting. It's still in the rough stage. We're going to be blasting out an email to all our friends and fans, and most importantly, our clients who are going to be invited, and a few lucky prospect clients that we let sneak in the door. But the content, the concept is sort of to bring people physically into our gorgeous 5,000 square foot office location here, and kind of show them what we do and how we do it. But more importantly, it's kind of a funky format where we bring people in and we have what we call cocktail content reviews, where you can grab a cocktail and pop your website up or some problem you're having up on a projection screen, and we'll crowdsource for ideas amongst our fellow content marketing clients. We'll stew on some fresh solutions and debate which pasta to eat from the north end here in the office, and also that we'll bring in to our physical offices here, and we'll introduce some fresh new content marketing techniques and ideas. both from that we're doing here for clients as well as peers might be doing on their own. And then we'll meet, M-A-A-T, some fellow IdeaLaunch clients. We just want our clients to meet one another and socialize and get to know and want to know them a little bit. So that'll be very exciting and very fun, and we'll experiment with it, and we'll see if this shindig catches on. If it does, we might extend out to San Jose. To answer your next question, we'll be in San Jose in August for the annual Search Engine Strategies Google Dance, very famous in the webmaster world. So that'll be fun. And we're going to try to put together a shindig that involves going physically into the Googleplex if we possibly can. Believe me, Google has their own shindig going for that Google Dance. So that'll be fun for everybody. But we're going to try to do something that's an add-on to that. That puts the stamp of content marketing in our shindig on their shindig. So we haven't quite figured out that yet, but we're thinking about it. How about you? You have any shindigs planned for this summer? Any more of those barbecues in your backyard that we can talk about?
Tons of barbecues planned. I'm always up for new barbecues, and we just got this great new giant smoker for our backyard. So we're often
running dangerous.
Like, smoking and trying all sorts of cool new food stuff.
Far out.
Yeah. So your 2009 is shaping up to be crazy busy, huh?
You know, the business is cranking. We've got more bodies in here than we need name tags. We need to have so many people in the office now. So it's just getting fun. It's starting to get really fun. So
yep.
The office is growing. The number of employees we have here is growing. So, but enough about that. Let's take a little station break. But when we come back, we are going to bring some smiles to faces today. I'm so excited about what you've lined up for the show today. So we'll be back in just a minute. Do you want to do any introduction to our guest today, or do we just want to surprise everybody, or what do we want to do?
You know what? I'm going to keep it suspicious. I'm going to say we are going to be talking to the world's first and only stand-up comedian economist. That's all I'm going to say.
So somehow we are going to find a way to laugh about the economic troubles and challenges we're in right now. It's going to be difficult, but we've got the guy that's going to make it happen.
But we'll joke about it.
Back in a minute, everybody. We'll see you in a second with some laughs about what's going on and some bright, humorous spots of this troubled economy. Back in a minute.
Life Tips will be right back after this short break.
Does your website need a bailout? Looking for a conversion rate stimulus package? Do you need a website improvement to-do list?
On Target, a subscription service from FutureNow and Brian Eisenberg, monitors your website 24/7, analyzing the actions of every potential customer. It gives you a to-do list. It tells you exactly what to fix and how to fix it so that more of your visitors do what you need them to do. On Target pricing starts at $1,000 a month. See more at futurenowinc.com/ontarget.
I'm Brian Eisenberg. And I approve this message.
Are you happy with your landing page performance? Discover how to improve your landing page performance with ConversionCritic.com, brought to you by Engine Ready. Turn your underperforming landing pages into cost-effective sales-producing machines. Be sure you're not wasting your precious PPC budget. Conversion Critic tools give you the ingredients to create high-converting landing pages. You don't have to be an expert to use Engine Ready's Conversion Critic tools, but you'll feel like a landing page pro. Take the guesswork out of increasing your conversion rate. Visit ConversionCritic.com and boost your conversion rate for free. That's www.conversioncritic.com.
Hey, have you got that number for Jerry's Pizza?
Look it up on localpages.com.
Localpages.com, and what if I wanted a business number in Miami?
Localpages.com.
Can people find your business online? Be seen with localpages.com on every local listing in all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, MSN, and Ask. With over 6 billion quality searches a month and bids starting as low as 1 cent, get connected with local consumers at the exact moment that they're looking for you.
San Francisco, Green Bay, London.
I told you, localpages.com.
List your business on localpages.com now and get $100 in free local advertising. LocalPages.com, bringing your neighborhood to you.
PPC Rockstars will take you to the promised land of PPC profit. Live broadcast Mondays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the advertising channel, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
And now back to Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome back, everyone. Happy to have you here. We're here with Yoram Bauman. Did I pronounce that right, Yoram?
Close enough. Yoram Bauman.
Well, that's good. And maybe we could just nickname you Y.
That's there you go. I answered everything.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and your illustrious background. And we have given you the gracious title of the world's first and only stand-up economist/comedian. Maybe that should be footnoted. You appeared on New York Improv, American Economist Association. You've got a bunch of YouTube videos at 500,000 people. Of course, that's probably you sitting there just over and over and over again watching your own videos. But
that's right.
Moving right along. We're honored to have you on the show. So what's the state of your union? What's the state of our union? And how does this all fit together?
Well, the state of my union is pretty good. I teach economics classes part-time in addition to doing stand-up comedy and working on environmental and economics issues. And so there are a lot of people who care about economics right now, and there are a lot of people who care about environmental issues right now, and a lot of people who need to laugh right now. So my business is counter-cyclical.
Do you find yourself putting pressure on yourself to make people laugh in this troubled economy? Is there any ray of hope here that you can shed upon us with what you're seeing out there from an economic perspective?
Well, I think it'll turn around eventually. The question is how long eventually is, and between now and then, it's not. I mean, the difference really between where we are now and where we were in the Great Depression, I guess there are two differences. One is that we have a lot more wealth as a society, and so for most of us, at least, it's a matter of having to reduce some of our expectations, but it's not a matter of, can I put food on the table tonight? That's true for most people anyway. And I mean, the other thing is that, we have policymakers who know a bit more about the macroeconomy than they did back in the 1920s.
Our comedians are much better, too. I'd like to learn about what your strategy is as you're digging for, your comedy role and how you dissect newspapers or bits of information that you're gathering and how you try to turn that around into make something become funny to laugh with or laugh at. What's your strategy on that? Where do you get your material, and how do you get your material, and how do you form jokes based upon your material?
It's mostly just a matter of like taking little snippets of things. It's sort of like pulling on threads. There's a little something comes up, and you toss it around your brain for a while, and eventually, some of it will become funny. So I'll give you an example. I did a gig shortly before the election in Wichita, which is a fairly conservative place, and I found out how conservative it was when I sat down for dinner. And one of my dinner companions said that that if Barack Obama was elected president, she was afraid that in 5 years she was going to be wearing a burqa.
Wow.
True story. So after the election, I sent her a catalog. And I put a note on the catalog, and the note said, look, I'm not trying to rub it in. It's just that the economy needs you to buy the burqa now. Right? Like, we can't wait 5 years for you to buy the burqa. You can do it now.
That's
the sort of thing that turns
good.
Into, you get a little nugget of truth, and you sort of pull on it for a while. I mean, people ask me for my investment advice, and my investment advice right now is Vicodin. It's got a street value. It does an excellent job of maintaining its street value. It's very liquid in most cities. You just sort of wander around at 2:00 in the morning, and you can pretty much sell it instantly. And I carry around a little vial, and the street value of that little vial of Vicodin is greater than the market value of General Motors and General Electric and Citigroup all put together.
Do you have any thoughts on maybe even a serious side of what's happening in the automobile industry, as well as what might be a glimmer of hope, in that industry?
Boy, the automobile industry.
I mean,
the challenge.
No,
the challenge
might be a good answer.
Industry, Yeah, the challenge with the automobile industry is that, you know, there are lots of countries that have suddenly decided in the last decade or so that the way to industrialize is to have their own homegrown automobile industry. And so there's just an increasing amount of competition from, you know, the Japanese, the Koreans. Now we have this Indian company that's coming out that's making cars for $2,500. And so that makes, you know, that makes a lot of competition. I think that the ray of hope for the automobile industry, I suppose, is that at some point, if we're going to get serious about climate change, we're going to have to do something pretty serious about motor vehicles, and that means lots of turnover of the fleet.
Mm-hmm.
So moving in the direction of, you know, clean cars, whether it's hybrids or fuel cells or electric cars or what it's going to be, but definitely, you know, in our lifetimes, there's going to be a change.
Mm-hmm.
And that creates a market.
Yeah, and do you feel like there's, you know, do you feel that the green revolution that we're beginning to see filter down into the masses is the hope in the future for the U.S., and particularly with our fragile economic system and becoming a world leader again and our intellectual capacity to build what most people dream about building? I mean, is that our future, or what is our future in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think that what the U.S. is really great at, and you know, our advantage, I think, over other countries in the world is we have this entrepreneurial spirit that a lot of other countries don't have. And so that entrepreneurial spirit can go in all sorts of directions. I mean, we've seen it with software in Silicon Valley and all that. Assuming that we send the right price signals to the market, we can do that with green technology. And, you know, the world is crying out for renewable energy that's cost-effective, and fuel-efficient cars, and energy-saving technology, and smart grids, and all this stuff, and we have the, you know, we have the brain power here in the U.S. to make a lot of those things happen. I think that what we need to do is have a price signal coming down to sort of correct sort of some of the problems with the market, where we actually send a price signal to the market that says, hey, you know, this is really important, climate change is important, and we need to get on top of this. And that's what we don't have that right now. If we had a carbon tax or a cap and trade system, which is, you know, the stuff that you hear a lot of folks talking about at the national level and in some places at the state level, those are the sorts of things that can really send price signals to the market and create a huge incentive for innovation.
Hmm. I wanted to ask you about the and I'm going to have one more question for you. Then we know Mandy's needs some humor herself, so we'll see if we can send some good vibes and energy her way with a few questions that she has. But one more question for you. You know, I find this to be an interesting combination of economist and comedian. Don't you feel those two are sort of against each other's odds? I haven't met too many economists that are actually funny people like yourself. Do you think there's some truth and merit to that? And how did you stumble into this paradigm?
Well, I think what you need to do for comedy is you need to have strong stereotypes. And like you said, there's a stereotype of economists as being sort of dour, not funny people. And that's what makes comedy possible about economics. Would I say that economists are less funny than most people? That's probably true. There are some other funny economists that I know, but I'm the only stand-up economist. At least that's what it says on my website, so it must be true. You know, it makes for good jokes. Like I have a bunch of "you might be an economist if" jokes that are sort of knockoffs on Jeff Foxworthy's "you might be a redneck if" jokes. And what makes the jokes work is the stereotypes that people have about economists. So, you know, you might be an economist if you refuse to sell your children because you think they'll be worth more later.
Oh, give us a couple more. Those sound really good.
You might be an economist if you don't read human interest stories because they don't interest you. If you think that supply and demand is a good answer to questions like where do babies come from?
Nice. Well, as a graduate from the London School of Economics, I would say spot on. So good stuff. You're really getting under the skin of the economists of the world. So good for you. Amanda, I'm sure you have some questions. Go right at it.
Well, you know, the only person who thinks I'm funny is my mom. So how do you test out your material? How do you know if something's really funny or if people are just laughing to be polite?
The same way every other comedian tests out their material. Open mic night on Sunday night at the Comedy Underground.
Really?
You head down there and you put your name on the list and you get 2 minutes in front of, you know, a crowd of people who won't laugh if it's not funny.
Mm-hmm.
So
do you try out your material on your students?
With my students, I will do material that I know is funny. I will not try out new material on students because they're a really tough crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, I mean, the general line of thinking is that if you say something at 8 o'clock in the evening, it's stand-up comedy. If you say it at 8 o'clock in the morning, it's stand-up tragedy. So it's got to be good in order to do it in a classroom setting.
Now tell me a little bit more about your political comedy benefit, nonprofit comedy. You've raised a lot of money through that. What do you do?
Yeah, it's a show that we run here in Seattle on Tuesday nights. And it's hard, as you can imagine, to get people to come out to a comedy show on a Tuesday night. So the business model that we have for the show is that we partner up with nonprofits, a different nonprofit every week, and they bring people to the club, and in return they get half the ticket sales. So they bring a crowd down. The comics get to perform for live human beings instead of talking to the wall. And a lot of people who don't get exposed, otherwise wouldn't be exposed to stand-up comedy, get to see some stand-up comedy, and that's really fun. There's really a difference between watching something on Comedy Central and actually going down to the club and sitting there with, you know, 50 other people having a good laugh about something. There's really something sort of cathartic and communal about laughing together with people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So which do you like better? Do you like being a teacher better or do you like being a comedian better?
I like, the mix is really great, and it's gotten me all kinds of really interesting opportunities. I'm working right now on a cartoon book about economics.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be coming out early next year. It's going to be called The Cartoon Introduction to Economics, which I know is not a very funny title, but so it goes. The Cartoon Introduction to Economics, and you know, it's kind of a neat way to combine my interest in economics and to also throw a bunch of jokes into this book and hopefully really change the way that that people think about economics classes. Like, there aren't very many people in the world who really look forward to taking an economics class. And the image in your head is of a really dusty sort of 600-page textbook that's full of graphs and stuff. And what we're hoping to do is come out with a 200-page cartoon book that's got a joke on every page. And, you know, it's got some graphs in it, too. I have to confess that. But it's also got a bunch of jokes and fun characters and really, you know, they're interesting stories that you can tell about economics, and most students, I think, don't get to hear those stories. And comedians are really good at telling stories. You know, that's sort of what we do, is we tell stories and they happen to be funny stories. But there aren't, you know, most comedians, that's their bread and butter, is taking something and making a story out of it. And so that's what this book tries to do with economics.
So which comedians, I'm seeing this whole new world of you know, and excuse the term, like smart comedians, you know, people like Colbert and Jon Stewart, who are using very smart industries to use them as a platform for comedy. So are you seeing that trend, and is that something that you consider yourself a part of?
I would say that it's something that I consider myself a part of. I'm not convinced that it's a trend. I mean, there's a lot of space in the comedy world, and it's everything from, you know, your sort of frat boy Dane Cook kind of humor, and then I think there's always been a little niche for kind of smart, thoughtful, some political comedy. People who, I guess I would consider myself to be one of the comedians who has a message, and comedy happens to be a vehicle for conveying that message. And if you're good, then you can sort of do both things at the same time. You know, you can do comedy and also talk about things that that are important to you. And there are some other folks who do this. There's a fellow in New York named Hari Kondabolu who does a really great job. He's hilarious comedian. He used to be here in Seattle, has now moved back to New York City. And he talks about sort of racism and issues like that. There's a fellow named Bill Santiago who's partly in San Francisco and New York and Chicago. Comedians tend to move around. He has a book out and a show that he does called Spanglish 101, where he does, and he's amazing. He does comedy in English, and then he does comedy in Spanish. And he's really funny. Every time he comes to town, I love to get together and see his show. And so there's a niche of the comedy world that does sort of thoughtful, interesting comedy. I guess I would say that I'm a little bit on the extreme side of that, in that I do almost academic kind of comedy, and I do perform at a lot of universities and economics conferences and things like that. But last night I was in Boise, Idaho, performing for the Boise Chamber of Commerce, and they were not a bunch of economists, and we had a really great time. They were a super fun crowd. I like to think that I can do a good job in front of all different types of audiences.
That's awesome. Byron, maybe you could get a new career as a stand-up SEO guy.
Can't imagine that. I'd have to get some pretty good tutoring going from somebody, and no one has the patience for that. I've got a couple questions for you, though. Are there any websites that you just plain enjoy going to because of the humor that you get from those sites and because they just constantly bring a smile to your face?
Boy, the computer is one of those things that I kind of have my own website, standupeconomist.com, and I spend enough time doing that and all my different email accounts that I try to limit the amount of time that I spend on Facebook and these sorts of things. So I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to help you all that much there.
Go ahead.
But I do have, for folks who are interested, I do have some videos on my website, and I'll say I think they're pretty funny, so I would encourage folks to go there to standupeconomist.com and check out my videos.
My next one, what about YouTube videos? Have you seen any really clever, interesting YouTube videos or people on YouTube that you're following in the comedy space, other than yourself, of course?
Let's see. I mean, some of the comedians I mentioned before, like Hari Kondabolu, Bill Santiago, they have they have YouTube videos, and I try to sort of keep up with them. I'll occasionally kind of watch The Daily Show or The Colbert Report online. Those are the ones that come to mind.
Have you seen the what's your take on YouTube in general and some of the ridiculous, crazy videos of skateboarders having accidents on rails and journal of the absurd, if you will, scenes that are happening, on YouTube. Do you find humor in that sort of, documentation and journal of one's life with crazy, absurd things happening? Are you getting any rise out of that?
Oh, sure. I mean, I think that stuff is amusing, and it's been amusing, for it's sort of like America's best home videos, but it's for the YouTube generation, and it's really amazing to see what people get. What people find interesting. Like my most popular YouTube video has 500,000 hits on YouTube, which I like to say is a lot for economics jokes, but it's not a whole lot for videos about like puppies or something, right? And it's amazing. Like you type in funny puppy or something, and you'll get some video with 20 million hits, or people love animals. People love like watching other people make fools of themselves. That stuff is it's comedy gold.
You just can't compete with those puppies, can you?
You don't want to even have to try to compete with puppies.
What about? Do you see any correlation in your industry between, let's call it an economic humor chart, right? Did more or less people start going, start seeking humor outside of their normal worlds as a result of a down economy? I know alcohol consumption is probably up, right? So I'm wondering if humor consumption or stand-up comedy is up.
Yeah, I think it's something that, like, I find other comedians, telling jokes about the economy. So that's fun to see. And certainly there's been more interest in my material. The only downside, as far as I'm concerned, is that, until a year or so ago, I performed a fair amount at for corporate financial gatherings. Mm-hmm. And they don't really have money anymore to hire me.
Right.
So
Who wants to joke about a bad economy when people are getting laid off? I mean, that's a whole,
you know, there's some philosophical reasons, I'm sure, that business has dropped.
Yeah, but you can tell jokes about sort of common situations. If you start telling jokes about individual people who are laid off, then that's not funny. But trying to make light out of, you know, what's a lousy situation for everybody is fair game, and I think it's always been fair game. I have a joke about how, based on a mostly true story, about how I did a gig for some bankers. This was in Colorado Springs maybe a year ago, and I really didn't do very well at this particular event. And I spent a fair amount of time after the show trying to figure out where had I lost this connection to this audience of bankers. And I eventually decided that I lost them on my opening line, which was, "Hey, how is it going?" Apparently, it's not going very well.
Uh-huh. Immediate turn off. Do you find yourself having to, if you will, make the case for humor, or are you finding that people are understanding that humor is a vital part of getting through the tough times?
No, I think everybody appreciates a good joke, and that's, you know, and jokes are free. When you think about it, stand-up comedy is, I mean, it's such a great business to be in. It's just you and a microphone and a stool and an audience and some beer, and, you know, you pay $10, $20, whatever it is, and you get a night of laughter, and you know, it's recession proof, I think.
You know, one of the first things I learned, however, at Arthur Andersen when I worked 3 years ago, and probably an official Gap principle by now, there's no such thing as a free lunch, right?
That's true.
Someone has to pay for it. Someone has to get it there. And it's an interesting theory. But listen, it's been great having you on the show today. Amanda, do you have any final words of wisdom that you want to seek from Yoram?
No, but I will say, I think that the service you're offering is completely invaluable and definitely ranks right up there with alcohol as being one of those recession-proof industries that people will always indulge in. Laughter is going to get us through this tough time. Right, Byron?
Well, if you had to choose between having a lovely bottle of wine from Napa Valley or having Yoram over for dinner, which would you choose?
I would have Yoram over for dinner. I think that would be an awesome night.
Maybe he could bring the wine.
Right on.
Best of both worlds.
Do you ever come to Boston, Yoram?
I'm sorry?
Are you planning on coming to Boston anytime soon?
I'll be in Boston next year, early 2010. I'm going on book/comedy tour when the cartoon Introduction to Economics comes out in early 2010. I'll definitely be in Boston. I hear that there are a few colleges in town.
Yes, indeed. We'll roll out the red carpet for you and do everything we can to try to help you promote your book as well when it comes out. So circle back with us at that time. We'll look forward to having you on the show again. And thanks very much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's been my pleasure.
Right on. Thanks again, everyone. And hope you enjoyed the show. Mandy, always a pleasure. Another great guest.
Mm-hmm. I agree. He was awesome. And we should have more comedians on like that. It's good to laugh during dark times, you know?
Can't get enough smiling activity in the course of the day.
I know.
Until next week, everyone, I hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you had a wonderful show, and I hope your life's been a little bit smarter.
Better.
Faster.
And funnier.
Yeah. See you next week, everybody. Thanks. Yeah.